Fantastic. Well, welcome everyone to LA2N Live's November call. I cannot believe it is already November and Thanksgiving is 2 weeks away and all of that crazy stuff and holidays coming up. Really excited for this month's LA2N Live call. We have a fantastic guest speaker. But before I introduce her, I just wanted to kind of give you guys a quick rundown. To mute your line, it is star 6. To unmute your line, it is star 7. We'll try to hang tight and see if we can not mute the entire line. But if you do want to chirp in while if I do mute the line, just star 7 yourself so you can then we can then hear you. And just as a reminder, we don't talk about clinical trials and things like that. We're obviously not the experts of clinical trials, so any sort of topics of that, we just kind of definitely leave that topic to the experts, any sort of financial advice and things like that. So we'll leave that stuff to the experts, but there are plenty of other experts on the line talking about anything and everything we can think of tips and tricks and awesome support on the line. So we are excited. So without further ado, I'd love to introduce you to you, Erica Rodriguez. Erica lives in Texas and is actually new to the LA2N family. She's 9 months into the LA2N family, and her son's been affected, and including her story that gave me the goosebumps as I heard it, but also Erica will share to us about Energy for Life, which is a walk that the United Mitochondrial Disease Foundation puts on, and a really good way for us all to get involved in UMDF activities, help to create awareness, and obviously raise money for research. So, Erica, can you take it away and kind of share to us how did you join our family and kind of share a little bit about your family?
Yes. Hi, everyone. Thank you, Jessica, for asking me and inviting me. I was telling Lisa earlier, I've never been on a call before. I've heard some recorded calls, but I've never been on a live call. So this is pretty cool and exciting. So I'm glad that you asked and feel really special. So, yes, we are 9 months into our LHON journey. And so our oldest son, Devin, will be 23 next week. And early January, he says, Mom, can you make me an appointment for an optometrist because I think I need glasses again. And so after a couple of optometrists and ophthalmologists and neurologist appointments and then getting in to see the neuro-ophthalmologist, it was from January till the first Monday in March when Devin was confirmed that he was diagnosed with LHON and his mutation is 3460. In the first couple months, I just kind of went into, okay, how am I going to, you know, what do I do? How do I fix this? How do I figure this out? Where do I go? Where do I start? So just went online. I found LHON.org. I found, you know, Facebook page. I found the UMDF page. I just started making phone calls and reading, and I learned about Dr. Sadoun online and made a phone call and was able to get Devin an appointment in March, and we drove down to California. And in figuring stuff out, I learned about I went on the UMDF website, and that's where I went to events, and then that's where I found the EFL walks, and I looked it up, and the next one was going to be in Houston early April. We couldn't make that one. We were just scheduled to come back from Pasadena, and then so we planned for the one in Arlington, which kind of worked out better because we have family that lives not too far from Arlington, so I figured, okay, well, we'll go to this walk. We'll stay the night at my cousin's house, and I wasn't sure what to expect when we got there. So we just went, you know, you register. I told my son about it. We made arrangements. We went, we stayed at my cousin's house, and the next morning, we went to the walk, and we realized that we're the only LHON family that was there, which is okay. but it also made me realize mitochondrial diseases and how it affects so many other different families and how it affects them and the other mitochondrial diseases that are out there. And so what was exciting about the walk was not just listening to other family stories, but my son. Like, he had – so Devin, let me tell you just a little bit about Devin. So Devin is going to be 23 next week, and he wasn't living at home at the time. And he just finished a semester of college, and he's working as a server, and he's living with a friend, and he is playing softball. He loves to do fantasy football, and he loves to play video games, and he loves to hang out and go out with his friends. And he was just living a hanging out 22-year-old young guy, just, you know, loves to date and just hang out. And so from January up until about April, before we got the diagnosis, the anxiety was kicking in, and I could just see it in him, and I could see his frustration. And, I mean, at one appointment, he was like, oh, goodness, already. He was like, I've got a game tonight. Can you just tell me already what's wrong? Give me something. Like, he just wanted, like, a pill or something. Like, you know, give me an antibiotic. What's wrong with me? Like, I got to play tonight. So I was telling Jessica earlier when we were talking, like, San Antonio has this reputation of being, like, a medical city. And it was really hard to get in to see a neuro-ophthalmologist. Like, they didn't want to see Devin until, like, end of April. So, anyhow, I figured out what I had to do there, and I got him in quickly. And by the time we did the EFL walk in April, Devin had – I mean, the past 9 months has just been a roller coaster. And by April, he had moved back home. He ended up moving back home when we came back from Pasadena in March. But he just had a lot of ups and downs. And so he, like, stopped going to the gym and just stopped doing so much of what we were used to seeing him do. And I remember when we were going to the EFL walk, he wasn't planning on running. And we went with one of my cousins that was registered to run. And right before the walk, Devin says, I'll do, you know what, Mom, I want to run. So I quickly ran up to the registration booth, and I registered him because it was like 5 minutes before the race was going to start. And he got a number, and he ran. And when it was over, he was so excited about his run. Like, he was so excited about his time. By this point, he had already set the visually impaired settings on his phone. And when they put up the list, he went to go check out his ranking, and he was like number four, I think. It was like four or five, and he was really excited. And it was a good weekend, and we hadn't had a weekend like that in a really long time. Like, he was excited, and I felt like he had a good weekend. He was happy. He was excited. So that was that. It was a small walk for us, or race, and that was in Arlington. And so, we come back to San Antonio, and, you know, we come across other chapters in Devin's life as he's slowly, you know, it's a roller coaster ride. He says, okay, he's been very, I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm going to eat, because he's always been into nutrition and fitness, and he would do that, and then he would kind of just go down again because he would come across something else that he could no longer do. Like, when we came back from Pasadena in March, he realized, okay, I can't drive my truck anymore. And then he was really into softball. He didn't want to quit either one of his softball teams, because then they'd have to forfeit because of the amount of players they had. So my husband and my son would play for Devin, and Devin would just sit in the dugout because he could no longer play, but he finished out the season. So then after May, end of May, like early June, he realizes, okay, I can't play anymore. Season's over. And he kind of, softball was over for him at that time. So then he kind of went, you know, down a little bit again. And then I, in communication with Lissa, I learned about the San Antonio Jets. And so Devin really wasn't about, and still isn't, you know, very open to talking to a therapist or a counselor or some professional about sitting there. He's like, you know, why am I going to go and sit there and talk to somebody about being blind and they're not even blind? Like, that's just dumb. And that's what he would say. He's just not okay with it. So the San Antonio Goods, I learned about them. We went to go meet them. We went to a practice and we met Will and Zach. And they both are affected with LHON, and Zach's been affected for many years. And Will, I think, probably like 3 or 4 years. Well, they made a connection and they became buddies and they started hanging out. And so that was exciting to see their connection and their friendship. And I just said to myself, okay, this is what we need to do. We just need to, it's all about the connections. It's about meeting other people. It's about just finding somebody else that can relate to you. And so I looked up, I noticed on the Facebook page, on the LHON Facebook page, that someone had posted, like, Team LHON, and they had done an EFL walk. So then I reached out to Alyssa, and I told her, how do you do that? And so she got me in contact with Molly, and then I already met Ann from UMBF over in Arlington, and so created the link, which is super easy and simple to do, and then nothing cost any money, and so I created the link, and I just started sharing it. This is back in August, because I realized that the next EFL walk was going to be in Pflugerville, which is about an hour and 15 minutes north of San Antonio from where we live. So we were like, okay, we could do that walk, like an hour and 15 minutes. Like, we could totally do that. It's closer than Arlington for us. So I asked Devin, hey, do you want to do this? And this was different. It wasn't a race. It was a walk, an event. But I asked him if he wanted to do that, if he was in. It was something I wanted. He said, yeah, I want to do that. So created the link. I put it on my social media page. I sent it to all our friends and our family. And then a friend of mine said, hey, I'll make shirts. The UMDF, they offer where you can – they'll make shirts and you can order shirts. And they pretty much set up everything where it's really easy. You just have to register, invite, and show up. But a friend of mine offered, hey, I'll make the shirts. So I was like, okay, well, that's cool. That makes it easier. And what I've learned in the past 9 months and what I have seen is that so many of our friends, our neighbors, our family, our community at church, at work, everyone wants to help and they just don't know how, and then you don't know how to ask for help. So in the last walk that we had at Pflugerville on October 13th, friends and family went and they drove up there from San Antonio to support us. And some people went that didn't even donate money. They just wanted to go to show support, and it was totally okay. And then some people went and donated money, where one friend donated like $500 and then somebody else donated like $200 and someone else, you know, it was just a bunch of like $50 and $75. And they just donated and weren't able to do the Saturday hour and 15-minute drive. And then I just reached out to my employer. I work for a small business, a commercial real estate company, and I just asked the owner of my company. Molly and Lisa sent me the information. Ann sent me the information because they have it all, like, just everything's already in a letter. It's just worded for you. You really just have to plug in the company's name. And so I put in my company's name, and I addressed it to the owner, and I sent it to him. And the comptroller, you know, reached out back and emailed, said, thanks for asking. Sure, we'll give you $500. Like, no big deal. So I was like, okay, cool. So I realized that people want to help, and you don't know how to ask for help, and they don't know how to help. And so the EFL walk, it was at least the one we just recently did, gave our friends and family a way to feel like they were helping us or supporting us. I mean, a couple of girlfriends of ours showed up like the night before and said, hey, Eric, I know you didn't ask for this, and we weren't sure if we should just go online and just donate this, but, you know, we know you've been to California. We know you've done this. We know this year probably wasn't easy for you, and just the night before the walk, just each of them just wanted to donate to our family a couple hundred dollars. And it wasn't even about the money, and we didn't ask. It was just about them saying, like, here, like, whether it's paying for the shirts or, you know, however this can help you. And I didn't even want to take it. And they're like, no, we don't want it. We just we just want to help. Like, we can't go to the walk, but we are here for you. So everyone just, you know, whether it was a text or email, and they would send prayers. I mean, it's just been happening, the support, all year long. But right before the walk, people were just reaching out and saying how they could help, whether they wanted to support by showing up or sending prayers or contact us. And then so we go to Florida. We go to Pflugerville, and it's early. And at this point right now, Devin went to go spend some time. He's in Houston with his father, and he's spending some time with him, and his father drove him up to Pflugerville. And Devin did the walk because I was kind of nervous. You know, we were having some moments where we were going down the roller coaster. And so I was, be honest, I was nervous. I was like, I don't know if Devin's going to show up for this. But then I said, you know what, we're going to go. Whether Devin shows up or not, like, this isn't a team Devin. This is a team LHON. Like, I have two other children that are carriers, and I'm a carrier, and I've got to show my other kids too that we just keep, you know, we're a family, and we're going to go, and this is what we do. And so we went, and Devin showed up, and all of our friends and our family from San Antonio that went up there, it was about maybe, I don't know, I think it was like 26 or 27 of us, saw Devin, and they just, you know, hugged him, and they offered their support, and they just made him feel very, you know, loved and missed and supported. And, yeah, the walk was great. It was a mile walk. It was fun. It was supposed to rain. Like, it rains in San Antonio, but not the way it has rained here the past 2 months. And it was supposed to rain that morning in Pflugerville bad. And I was like, and then my friend decided to make white T-shirts. And I said, only me, you know, could our family get LHON something nobody ever hears of. And we may decide to do white shirts on a day it's going to rain. And so we kind of laughed. We just kind of laughed about it. And then, so what we did, I don't know, superstitious or not, hopefully you guys don't make fun of me, but my girlfriends, two of them that had come to see us the night before we were leaving because they came to pick up their shirts and, you know, drop off money, offer their support, they were going to go with us in the morning. And I was so bummed about the weather. And I said, the girls were like, we're going to fix this. So we're in like a monthly rosary group. I'm Catholic. And so we pulled out a candle of the Virgen de Guadalupe. And so we lit the candle and we asked for it not to rain during the walk. And I don't know if that's why, but it rained all the way to Pflugerville. And at 9 o'clock, it stopped raining, and it didn't start raining again until 10 when the walk was over. So
that's,
I was like,
perfect.
Whoa. Yeah. So I was like, that's pretty awesome. So, yeah, it was a good day. You know, we all went to lunch afterwards, and it was a good event. Yeah. And so right now we are, Devin is spending some time right now, Houston, hanging out with his dad, and he's kind of trying to figure out his next steps. He's just stopped working. He was working as a server all of this time, because he had been already for about a year, even before this happened, and he stopped working about late September. He worked for as long as he could, and we couldn't figure out how he was doing it, well, with his particular job, being a server, and he was getting support from his coworkers a lot. And just a couple things I wanted to add with the whole journey, like in the beginning, for me, you know, when I was going into fix-it mode or trying to figure this out, the things that worked for me was I found a book online, and I don't even know how I found it. I was just going through stuff, and it popped up, and the book Born with the Bomb helped me kind of understand and give me perspective. That helped. And then the ESL walks, you know, helped, you know, meeting other families. At this last ESL walk, my goal was to get other people from Texas involved, so that for me it was really big, the connections, people meeting and knowing that and understanding that they're not alone. They weren't able to make it, but other people did reach out, you know, through private message, through Facebook, that asked about it. And I also noticed, like, when I posted on, a couple people made comments. So it, at least it felt good to know that there was other people that were paying attention and knew that they were invited and knew that, okay, you're not alone. Like, there's somebody else out here too. So it was all about the connections. And so that book helped me, then, you know, what else was I going to say? I lost my train of thought there, right, for a second there. I was going to talk about the book and I was going to talk about something else that helped. I don't know. Help me out, Jessica.
And I'm like, I'm trying to think of, I'm like, I have so many other questions. You know, I, just to chime in and just to kind of reiterate what I had, I mean, thought the whole time I was talking on the phone and hear your story again is, I just admire, you're so new into the LA Twin family, just being barely a year into everything, being so fresh and kind of raw at that point. And, you know, I know that every person on the phone call can, like, nod their head in agreeing that, like, we get the roller coaster. We get, like, some days are awesome, and some days you want to come home and cry about it. You know, there's, we all get that roller coaster.
I was going to say. The book helped me, and the Girl Gone Blind helped me, and I know she's on the call, so thanks for joining the call. Maria, right?
Yes, Maria.
Maria helped. I read a lot of her articles, and I still do, and I tag my son on a lot of her stuff all of the time. And then when we were driving, I was telling Lisa, when we were driving to Pasadena and we were, you know, looking up videos, I was introducing stuff to Devin all the time. But, of course, at that moment, and even so now, he's not – he just wasn't – very open to stuff that I was throwing at him. It was just too much too soon, but I still was doing it. And when we were driving to Pasadena from San Antonio, I was pulling up videos, you know, YouTube videos. And then, and there were a couple of videos of Jeremy. And then one of the times, and it was probably like early August, did Devin say, "Hey, Mom, do you, you know, still talk to or communicate with Jeremy, the golfer, his mom?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, I heard his video today. It was pretty cool." And that day, he asked to go back to the gym. And I was like, "Yes." And he went back to the gym. Now, I don't know if, you know, if it was the connection of the video. I'd like to think it was. But he went, started going back to the gym again, and he went for weeks and weeks. So I thought that was pretty cool that he remembered, and he pulled it up on his own. So
definitely. You know, and all, we all kind of process it differently, and it all kind of takes time. And but it's true, like, to get all that information at once is definitely overwhelming because you're in that, like, oh my gosh stage. But it's great when you, like you were saying before, like, to have the resources and to know when he's ready for all those resources, because there is so much out there that's available. It's just, it's just a matter of taking when's the right time to kind of approach it. And but yeah, I mean, he'll definitely come around and want all that information. And I mean, I was saying, I don't know if my mom's on the call, but we all want a mom like you that's all out there. And I mean, all the moms on this call can definitely relate, that are out there fighting for your kids and doing everything it takes. And I mean, so many moms that are out there, LHON moms, that are whatever it takes to make sure that as kids we still succeed and do well and maintain happiness and things like that. So on behalf of the kids,
and the mom connections are huge. Thank you, Jessica,
definitely,
about bringing up moms. Because so when Devin had the connection with Will and Zach and became friends with them, I was able to meet Zach's mom, Anna. And Anna and I are now friends. Every now and then we'll get together and we'll go, you know, have dinner. And she met me, and she went to the walk with me. Her son, Zach, couldn't do it at the time, and he wasn't able to show up. But she went with me, and she drove up to San Antonio, and we kind of did it together. And I thought that was really cool because, you know, I had talked to Alyssa a while back. We were in communication, and I think it was probably shortly after, I can't remember on the timeline here, when you did, Lisa, when you did the mom Facebook thing. But I had talked to Zach's mom, Anna, and that was the first time, like, when I heard her story, I was like, I mean, her story is like, wow to me when I heard her, not when they let her tell hers, but in, her sin was affected many, many years ago. And after listening to her, and we spent hours at dinner one night, I just kind of felt like, okay, she is so okay right now. She is so put together. She has, like, she just has it together. I'm like, if she can go through this, like, okay, like, somebody can relate. She can relate to me, to my family. They're okay. We're going to be okay. Like, she really gave me that hope. Not that I didn't think we were, but I didn't.
And tell us about the team. I don't know if other people know. The San Antonio Jets is a beat baseball team.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? And how did he – so tell us about the connection, how he got involved, and, like, what that entails.
Well, Lisa mentioned it, and I looked him up. And then it was probably, like, late April. They were having a tournament here, and we were doing a walk for another girlfriend, the Susan Komen walk, and when we left there, we went to the tournament, and we met the guys. And so we had already talked to on the phone, two of them, Will and Zach. They were very, they're great guys. They were like, I'm open book, Erica, ask me whatever you want. I'm here for you. And so I met Will on the LHON Facebook page. And so anyhow, both of these guys, they play beatball. And Zach's cousins that are in Arlington and are also affected, they play for the San Antonio Jets as well. And then they would ask Devin. They asked him a handful of times, and he just wasn't ready. And then he finally went out one day on his own. He asked, he said, hey, we can you ride. And as soon as he said to Rodriguez Park, I knew what that meant. He was going to practice. So he went to practice with them one day. But by the time he came around and asked to go to practice, it was like towards the end of their season. So hopefully he'll want to play when the season starts back up. But yeah, they travel, and they're a bunch of really great guys, and it was awesome. And we took some girlfriends of some friends of ours with us when we went to one of their tournaments, and we got to see them play, and it was just a really, really awesome experience.
Yeah, I've actually heard about the team, that they're really good. So that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be a perfect spot for him to join.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Literally perfect timing. Erica, at this time, I'd love to be able to open it up to the rest of the group and see if they had any questions for you, or just kind of maybe share a little bit of their experience and how they can relate as well. So if you are muted, if you want to star 7 yourself to unmute, we'd love to hear from the group. Anyone?
This is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hey, you did a great job of sharing, and you're really enthusiastic about wanting to help your son, and I loved hearing your story.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really appreciate you saying that.
Hey, this is Maria. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Yes. Hi, Maria.
Yes, I wasn't sure if I unmuted or not. Right. Hi, Erica, and I wanted to thank you for your kind words about Girl Gone Blind, and I am thrilled that you found it helpful and that you could learn and, you know, kind of see what it's like to kind of go through it coming from, you know, someone who has. And I just really appreciate you, you know, with the compliments, and that's why I write. That's what keeps me going, and that's what makes me write the next one. So thank you so much.
No, thank you for sharing, and, you know, thank you for, you know, all your articles and all your funny stuff, and it's just, it's so real, and I just love it. And then and there's so many things that I do share, and other girlfriends have read it, and they're like, thanks for sharing, because, you know, it's people don't understand, and I have to ask Devin questions, because in the beginning I wouldn't. I would wait till he would share, and then I would just I finally just had to, you know, ask him, well, what bothers you? What doesn't bother you? What can you see? What can you not see? How do you see? And so, yeah.
So you can read about it and have some ideas.
Right.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, thank you again. And I see your likes and things of that sort. So I've seen you active on my page. So thanks again. I just want to say that.
Thank you. And I just want to thank you and Lissa and Jessica and everyone that's joined the call, just because what one thing I've noticed in the past 9 months at the LA Sewing community is that everyone is just so, like, everyone, like, that I've actually had the chance to either communicate, whether it was however it was, just very inviting, welcoming, very, you know, helpful, very, I mean, not just in the LA Sewing community as far as resources, like, online and then the big organizations, but just the even people that are just, you know, that are affected. Like, I'm saying, like, not just like UMDF or at the Doheny Eye Center, which they were really nice, but like Will, I mean, he reached out to me when I was on the Texas LHON Facebook page and I introduced myself, and it was on the way back from California. He said, hey, you know, I go to San Marcos. And if you ever want to reach out to me, and so, like, everyone has just, I've been in communication with other people in Texas that are affected with LHON, and everybody just seems so, like, hey, I can help, or I'm here, or what do you need? And I just think that's so awesome, because this is not in the beginning, and I'm sure so many people could probably relate or have already heard this, but in the beginning, like, when they tell you this, it's like you get punched in the gut, right? Like, what? Like, this doesn't happen to me. Like, not my family, not my son. And then it's like 9 months later, you're like, when you get involved, you know, and you ask the questions and you reach out, like, everyone just wants to help. And I guess that makes them feel better, because it makes me feel better, right, if I can help. But everyone is just so, like, just friendly and helpful. Like, I don't know. Do you guys feel the same?
No. Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's what's so cool about our community, is that everyone totally understands, no matter what stage they're in life, is that when LH1 hits, like, no pun intended, when LH1 hits, we all get it, and it's relatable, and the experiences, and the same thing, like the punch in the gut and the stomach, I can't believe this is happening to me, we all have that feeling.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Lance. I just wanted to thank you for telling Devin's story and being his advocate. I know I wouldn't have... The path wouldn't have been as clear without a lot of my family and people in my life. And but I didn't know if you were aware of the Chris Cole Center in Austin. I lived there for 6 months last year, and it really was a great experience at that rehab facility.
Thank you for bringing that up. I'm so glad that you mentioned it, because maybe later we can connect, because we do know about the Chris Cole School, and it's something that we've had, it's a conversation we've had a handful of times, and he's thinking about it. He's not ready for it today, but he's thinking about it. Yeah.
3 meals a day. Nice comfortable bed.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they've got a really really nice gym there too, with all the stuff. It's a great facility, and you know, I came of age as a blind adult there, so it was a great experience. I lived there for 6 months last year.
I appreciate you telling me that, because I've heard, you know, his two friends here, Will and Zach, they went there. And here, the Texas Workforce Commission of the Blind with Vocational Rehab, they have really highly encouraged Devin to go to and talk to him about going to the Chris Cole School. So I know it's something he's thinking about it and considering.
It's a great facility.
Yeah.
I went through a program in Indiana here too, and it fails in comparison to that facility there. So, if that gives you any thought on it, it was, it's a great place. The instructors and the facility's great, and it's good to be in Austin.
Yeah, and it's Austin. It's close. It's just an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin has some great food.
Yes, it does.
Well, I appreciate you introducing yourself. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being on the call and telling your story. It's,
sure. No, I was excited to be asked. I told Jessica earlier, and I've shared with Lisa, whatever and however I can help, I'm always willing to, because, I mean, the LHON community helps me and supports me and our family, and I wish I could do more, and when I figure what more is, I'll do that. Right now, I just do what I can, and we just take things one day at a time.
That's all we can do.
Yep. Very true.
This is Lisa from Canada. You'll have to excuse my voice. Not normally like this. And I'm sure if Andy was on the call, he'd make a comment. Thankfully not.
Hi.
Hi. I want to welcome you to the group. And I think it's amazing what kind of mom you are to advocate so much for your son. So newly into it, you seem very positive and very strong, and I'm sure you have your moments, as we all do. I'm affected, but, you know, being there for support for your son is probably the best thing you could possibly do, and I commend you on all that you've researched and all that you've done so for him. And like you said, one day at a time, and that's all you really can do. Yeah, when he's ready, he'll make the next step. But welcome to the group.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying all of that and welcoming me. And thank you for your kind words. I appreciate you. Yeah.
There also are other kids, but I guess 23 isn't really a kid, but
mm-hmm.
There also are younger guys. You know, there's a couple from Canada here, James Konecki. I don't know if he's on the call or not, but that I believe are close in age. And, you know, James lives in Ottawa, or in Ontario there, and he attended one of the conferences first time, and he's been affected, I think, 2 years, is it, guys? And he was the same way at the beginning. You know, he was into bodybuilding and then gave it up because he didn't think he could do it. But then now he's back into it, and, you know, now he's rowing and doing all these different things, playing the blind baseball, and that might be another connection for your son. And I'm sure Lisa, who is absolutely amazing, can connect your son when he's ready to somebody that's closer in his age and somebody he can kind of relate to and say, you know, hey, this is happening. Is that normal or whatever? As well as for yourself as a mom, there's support up there for you too.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, one of the things that I realized by sharing, it took me probably, I don't know, maybe a couple months or so, I don't even remember exactly when, but to share the story on my Facebook page. And doing so, you know, we had, you know, people reach out, but recently a friend of mine, she had someone that was talking about her story and her son, and it sounded like
it was LHON. And so this friend reached out to that friend, and this is in San Antonio, and we're just, like, not very far from each other. And so anyhow, my friend reached out to me and said, hey, she took a screenshot of her friend, and she said, do you mind if I – she said, look at this or read this. She said, do you mind if I give her your number? I said, no, absolutely. And she did. And so Donna and I connected a couple weeks back. And so – and now she's going through figuring stuff out with her son. And I told her about my son and about Will and about Zach and everything else that we've kind of been, you know, she's kind of already done what I've done as far as like research and talk to people. And I think she's already reached out to Lisa and, we've talked, and she said she went and talked to her son, which is away right now in college, and he seems pretty, you know, optimistic and excited about learning about Devin and Will and Zach being so close. So I think that's huge when, you know, you can make connections and relate to someone, especially when they're so close.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so...
Well, like I said, welcome to the group, and, you know, great
Thank
to hear you on the call. And I, too, have that mutation, and there's not many in the group that have that, the 3460, by the way.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, there isn't. And, well, I don't think I've talked to anyone before with the same mutation. Wow, that's pretty cool.
So this is Patrick from Northern California, and I also have a 3460. Hey, how are you? I've got 3462.
Hey,
I was also affected around the January time frame, January 2018. So if he wants to reach out to me to talk, because I think we're in the same trajectory. Jessica's got my contact information, but I'd be curious to hear how his vision's doing and how he's doing in terms of that progress.
Wow, thanks. Yeah. Certainly,
that could be perfect.
Yeah, it could be. Wow. Yeah. 3460 in January. Whoa. Yeah.
I don't know if we've had this many of the same mutation of your mutation on the call either.
I know. That is so, yeah. I've been looking. Let me tell you, I've been reading and I've been reaching out to people. And, like, when we went to the San Antonio Jets and we met four people that were affected, I was like, what's your mutation? And nobody was 3460.
Yeah, lucky us.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Wow.
We all feel pretty similar anyways. And how crazy and cool are the odds that you met someone on Facebook that also was going through the same thing? Like, the LHON world, I mean, I felt like we were a few and far between, but we feel closer every day.
Yeah. For sure. Yep.
And I just wanted to piggyback up the walk that you were talking about, which sounds like a fantastic way to really get involved with your community and maybe meet other people with LHON or other mitochondrial diseases in your area. And just like you said on how great it was to really have that just other connections, especially to meet people in person. We all can relate on how fantastic the conference is for that, but just to be able to have someone in your own hometown turf, and just how valuable it was to go to the walk. And then, I mean, I had no idea how easy it was to really set up a team and to really have everything done for you that UMDF puts on. That's a great idea. Are there anybody else on the call that has also done the walk that would be willing to share? Molly?
Sorry, I was on mute. Hi, this is Molly from Boston. Yeah, I participated.
Hi, Molly.
Hello. Hello. I participated in a walk back in May in Rhode Island, and it was great. There was a group of about seven of us, and some of us knew each other beforehand. Some of us had never met, but, you know, it was just really great for people to come together. We had great conversations, and it's nice to know there are people nearby. They're not as far away as you might think, and it's kind of a nice opportunity to have people kind of come together quickly and assemble in that way, and it was great. And I'd like to also just say to Erica, thank you for sharing so eloquently your story. It was really nice hearing that, and I know we've communicated a little bit over Facebook, but thank you again for all of the work that you've been doing for the walk, and of course for your son. He's very lucky to have you. So just wanted to get that in there as well.
Thanks, Molly. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate all of your work too in helping. I know in the beginning we had some kinks. I'm like, wait a minute, how do I do this and that with the link? But it was after we figured it out, and like it was super easy. And when I spoke with Anne, there was like a step missing. But and Anne with the UMBF, she's been super helpful as well. And so and that I did want to add with the EFL walks, and I'm sure Molly, you could probably relate to this, is that they do everything for you, like everything's set up. So it's easy to just kind of ask your friends and family and your neighbors, like when you guys want to get together, and that's such a good cause and a good reason to get together. Like everyone almost, like I was kind of surprised because I was thinking, oh, it's like an hour and 15 minutes. That was the closest walk to us. I was like, we'll see. It may just be us, the family again, like when we went up to Arlington. And I was surprised to see how many people were like, okay, we'll do it with you. And so, because it's easy, you know, they're free and they kind of set it up all for you. You literally just show up. And then if you don't even register before the walk, you can register when you show up, the day of. So it's something that's already, you know, done. And then after the walk, when I was talking to Anne from the UMDF, there's also other ways you can get involved. Like there was going to be a fundraiser at Kendra Scott, and she's like, would you be interested in that? And I was like, oh, it's Kendra Scott. A night at the Kendra Scott store? Sure, I'll go hang out there.
So, that's a great point, Erica, that they really do, UMDF really does handle everything. So it's something that's, it's nice that way, and that you really can very easily get involved, and there's not a ton of commitment in that way. You don't have to organize things. You just kind of show up, and they handle everything. And the regional coordinators are great about great resources and great about, you know, organizing and pulling everything together. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, because it makes it easy, because sometimes I think people probably don't know how to organize one, or maybe want to, but then they're afraid there might be a little bit of too much work involved, and it really isn't. And, you know, and who knows, we may not continue to do this like year after year. My hopes are that we will. Like in April, my cousin was already telling Devin, hey, we got to race again. And beat our time in April, and I hope they do that. But if not, at least the first year, like just to get involved and to show the family that we're doing things together as a family to try to make a difference and just meet others and make that connection. I just hope that, you know, my other two children never become affected. But if they do, they know that, hey, there's a community out there and there's support, and this is how we do it. This is how we're going to help each other.
And this is Lissa. I think one thing I wanted to say is that I loved hearing all about this, Erica. Thank you. And I'm glad it was easy. And one of the things that really does seem to be happening is there are, like, people are closer together. I mean, there's more people near each other than we've ever had before, and we're connected, whether it's through, you know, email or Facebook or conferences or whatever. And we have these opportunities now, I think, to do things more on the local and regional level. But it can be difficult. Like, I've been trying to do local and regional things over the years, and the good thing is, you know, people are supportive and nice and go along with it, but it's always, like, there's some work. Like I was in Boston a couple of years ago, and I reached out to Howard, and he and his wife graciously invited me to lunch and took me out for a hike. And it was really nice. But then again, it was sort of, he had to be gracious enough to have this stranger arrive and hang out and talk at least. It would have been easier if we had both gone to an EFL walk and chatted there, because you just sort of go and meet, you know, it's easier. Or, you know, like my Jeremy was in Connecticut, and John Knox was so gracious, and he and his family opened up their home to a couple of families, and it was great, but somebody has to open up their home and kind of figure all that out, and who's going to come, and how much food, and I don't know, it's great, but there's some stress, or even like fundraising. I mean, Jessica has put on some dinners in the dark, and they're fabulous, and people support her, but good Lord, there's a lot of work that goes into it. I know from watching Jeremy's and being a part of his Cure Rides. So these EFLs, it seems to me, are this amazing opportunity to leverage the fact that we are a mitochondrial disease. We've been doing our conferences at UMDF for several years now. They have these events all over the country. We just need to glom on to what they're doing, have somebody create a team LHON, and if you have one person and their friends, that's great. Two families, hey, it's a, you know, it's a meeting. Three, it's a, you know, and if we just keep growing and growing and they do the organizing and we can connect and do all the great things you just described but don't have to do any of the work, oh, my gosh, I think it's an amazing opportunity on every level.
You're so right, because when this first started happening to us and we talked about my girlfriends right away, they're like, we're going to do a fundraiser right away. And my son kind of knows that about this group of girls that I hang out with here. And that right away he was like, after his first low vision doctor appointment back in May, when he came across and got to try on eSight for the first time, I was like, so what do you think? And he's like, well, that's pretty cool, but I don't want him if we're going to do a fundraiser. I don't want any fundraiser. He didn't want anything to do with any involvement of a fundraiser. He just didn't. And I told the girls, shut down the fundraiser idea. Like, just no. And then but when I brought up the EFL in August for October, he's like, oh, yeah, we can do that. That's pretty cool. Like, we did it in April, and he was so open to doing it again in October. Because it wasn't about Devin, then, is what my guess is. It's just, it's kind of a everybody. It's about LHON. It wasn't like a Devin thing. We're a fundraiser. I think Tim was going to be, this is about me, and I don't want you to do for me. Like, he's not ready. He wasn't ready for that.
Lisa, this is Lisa. I have a question in regards to these walks. Are they only available in the United States?
The UMDF is a U.S.-based organization, so
okay.
Yes, all of their walks are in the U.S. There is a comparable organization in Canada, and they do have events. I have not looked into, you know, what their events are, or, you know, whether you've got your new LH1 Canada group and do they want to collaborate, or I don't know any of that. It's possible, but no, UMDF is a U.S. group.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, Mito Canada, I think, is the name of the group I'm trying to reach for the name of.
Okay, thank you.
Well, it's getting close to that hour. And Erica, I just want to thank you again for being our guest speaker, but most importantly, I want to always invite you back. You know, we're always going to be here. We'll continue these LH1 live conference calls. We're all always here. So once Devin gets more ready for more resources and as your roller coaster keeps on rolling, let us know how we can help and how we can help with resources and mobility training and, gosh, pinning your socks together, which is still my favorite tip. Stuff like that. Like, we are, your community is here, and we are always here for you. So please come back and join us on a conference call or shout out to us and text or call all of us, any of us, anytime, because we're here for you. So come back, and we're happy to be part of your journey and to help wherever we can. And, I mean, this is with everyone, but especially our new ones, for sure.
Thank you, Jessica. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for thinking of me. And, I was excited. So I was glad to get the invite and that you reached out. I'm like, you know, like I said,
I'm in. Whatever you guys need help with, if I can do it, definitely call me. I'm in.
We love it. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story and Devin's story as you guys take on this journey together. And thank you all for joining our Ready November phone call. Next month, our phone call will be – you guys, I already have all this organized. I'm so surprised. Next month, our phone call is Wednesday, December 5th. So please join us again. And a personal shout-out, I'll be in Sacramento with Chaz and Matt and Adrian. We'll all be running the marathon up in Sacramento. So we are looking to host a LHON gathering on that Friday, November 30th. Sometime in the afternoon, we haven't gotten, like, details and exactly where we're going to meet, but somewhere probably close to the hotel where the race is, so the Holiday Inn in downtown Sacramento, so right by the Capitol. So somewhere probably around there, I have to work with Audrey to get that all organized. But we would love for anybody that's in the area to come join us so we can have a nice little meet and greet. But as always, thank you so much for joining our conference call. I am going to turn this off mute, but please feel free to hang tight if you guys have any other questions or anything else that you want to share without the recording. But thank you very much. One second, please.
Hi.